when I was young. You sit beside me, my only son. Listen closely to what I say.
It's Low Standards and Pours, Friday, May 17th, 9:34. Welcome, all Carpe.
Hey, we're right on time.
Exactly. Anyways, what's going on?
Eric, dude, brother.
Can you hear that okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as crappy as your music comes across when you try to play it.
You know,
it's better than it used to be.
It's probably better than yours.
Yeah, everything's better than mine. That's
what's
what she
up there,
said.
Rick Kali Rock 99. Welcome.
Rick Kali Rock 99. Yahoo! Yeah. Welcome. Join the room.
So woo-hoo. What's going on over there?
Hey, a lot of things, man. It's been like a couple of weeks. We both had some crazy times here in the past 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know, mine is not as jaw-dropping as yours. Life-changing as yours is, but I'm going to tell you about mine and then the world can hear about your story.
Yeah.
You know, my wife got let go from her job, and then 2 weeks later I got let go from my job.
Yeah.
I actually was unemployed for 7 business days and then was hired by another company because for whatever reason I'm really good at what I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm back in the hunt, but you know, it's been wild getting up to speed with what's going on there. And I'm not going to name the company because
no,
it's our show and our show is a detriment to anyone trying to be famous and good. So
right.
I don't want to drag my company down by saying, oh yeah, I work for them. Oh shit. They hired El Carpe. Forget it, man. I've never worked with those ass bitches. So, you know, that's the thing, but you know, and then, you know, and my wife's had a lot of interviews and she's cooking right along. She's going to get something here shortly. And it actually may turn out that her former employer is going to call her to come back.
Well, that's
because
good.
They let her go and they had no plan to. She was already doing 3 people's jobs.
Yeah, I hear that a lot lately. Yeah, cutting and back and doubling up on the.
Yeah, she was barely getting paid for what she was doing. And then they let her go and they're like, then they got totally screwed. And now the gal who is her supervisor says, you know, I'm trying to fight for you to get you back. And she's going to have some pull. She's going to be able to negotiate better for herself, which I think would be great because she's earned it. My wife's awesome.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I met her many a times and think highly of her.
Yeah.
And
well,
I'm sure
you've met my wife.
The time we, you showed up at the Depeche Mode concert, and I didn't know you were coming.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, for as long as we've known each other, I could count on one hand the number of times I think my wife was with me when you and I hung out.
Yeah, I don't know if that's by design or by.
It's probably by her design because the less time she spends with me, the happier she is.
Right.
And I don't blame her. But so, Eric, you've had some. Big activity in the last couple of, well, you've been taking care of your ma for the last year and a half, right? When did you move out
dementia.
Of that apartment?
It was a year and a half ago.
Yeah. So
a year and a half.
And you've been taking care of her.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's tough. You know, we all go through it and you know, you get older in life and yeah, you know, you think you got world by the balls and you think everything's hunky dory. And sometimes you forget about how important your parents are and your upbringing. And once they're gone, it's kind of like, you know, life slaps you in the face. You know, you lose kind of part of yourself. I know you've been through it. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's your upbringing. You know, you got to get through it. Everybody goes through it. There's no stopping it. And you just got to, you know, you got to be a man. You got to suck it up and life moves on and, you know, stick to the friends that are close to you. Same with family and, you know, get on with life. But, you know, I'll probably take some time off for a little while and, you know, kick back and relax a little bit. And I got some home projects to finish up and then hopefully get on the road for a little bit and come back.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to come over and help you do some of that home stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as I love the new job on the weekends, I got to get out and do something. I already, the past two nights I came home and I built stands for my 55-gallon rain barrels.
Yeah.
That I got to set that up. But no, enough about me. What happened?
Well, you know, I don't want to, you know, bore the listeners with whatever crappy details. But, yeah, so, I mean, in a nutshell, the abbreviated version is she fell, like, 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, 2 o'clock in the morning, woke up, you know, it woke me up, ran upstairs. Mm-hmm. Wasn't looking good, called EMS, went to St. Mary's. Nothing was broke, nothing fractured. But she injured her neck really bad. It was swollen and black and blue.
Right.
And that was kind of the beginning of the end. She went into what they call is, like, after 2 days, she went into called chain Stokes. It's a breathing pattern. And thank God, there's this YouTube channel called Hospice Nurse Julie. And she talks about everything that she experiences as a hospice nurse.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's got to be just a wealth.
She explains, she explains everything. Like, don't be alarmed by this. Be concerned about that. And
what is her site again? Is it, you said
it's
YouTube?
Hospice,
right?
Yeah, Hospice Nurse Julie. It's really light. You know, it's not, you know, too much information, but she does like 5-10 minute videos.
Right.
And she's a hospice nurse, and she just talks about people going through hospice. And what she experiences.
And it's, so, you know, it's funny because, can you turn the music off in the background?
Oh, you can hear it?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's driving me nuts.
Sorry.
Because I was gonna play some stuff that we can play in the background.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah. Because, you know, in honor of moms, you know, we just had Mother's Day. Because your mom passed, what, 3 days before Mother's Day?
Yeah, she passed away on the 7th.
Okay. And Mother's Day was like...
So, yeah, my dad died on Thanksgiving. I'm like, God, don't die on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, Jesus. But, yeah, so she went into this thing called chain Stokes is when the breathing kind of... It goes rapid, then it goes slow, it goes rapid, then it goes slow.
Right.
And she was like that from, like, Thursday till Tuesday. Ugh. Met with the palliative nurse, met with the hospice care nurse.
Right.
They delivered the bed. And then like a half hour after they delivered the bed on Tuesday, she passed.
Oh, so, she was looking for some place to be comfortable.
Yeah, because we were getting ready for hospice to come out and keep her comfortable and help me, you know, get things changed and all that. And
you know, she was just holding on for you, man.
Yeah, you know, I was able to sit next to her and hold her hand and... You know, be there for and all that. You know, it's like we all go through tough times in our life. And, you know, a lot of us don't know what to do. A lot of us are bitter about things. But that's why I put on Simple Man, because there's a good message in the front. And you just got to suck it up.
It was a good opener.
You got to do what's right, man. Because all that karma stays with you. You know, you got to take care of your parents. Even though they might have been bad people. You gotta do it, because that the stuff that you do in life like that sticks with you.
How did your dad pass?
He just he died from mesothelioma. Mm-hmm. So he came down with cancer in April and he passed on Thanksgiving Day.
So was he home?
No, he was at the hospital. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
well, because my dad fell down the stairs at home. And
yeah, that's what you were saying.
It was just over. It was just like, in the morning, my mom calls me at work and says, your dad's going to heaven.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And, you know, that was 2006, I think, 2008.
Yeah.
2006, I think. But
yeah, like around 2005, I think.
Yeah, and then you and I met 2004.
Yeah, whatever.
Chase, but anyway.
Potato, potato.
And then, you know, when my mom went, she had the same thing as your mom with the dementia and everything.
Yeah.
She was living upstairs from my brother, which was great because he was able to take care of her.
Yeah.
Him and his wife. And his wife is just a saint. I can never say enough good things about how awesome his wife is.
Yeah.
The amount of she did not sign on for what she got when she got mom. But
yeah.
She handled it like a trooper. And, you know, and they just, it is, it, just like you said, you just got to put on your big boy pants and just handle it. And just
you got to suck it up.
Be there.
Yeah.
And my brother called me. I mean, we knew there was, I was going over there every Saturday and taking her out to get her hair done and doing fun stuff. And that was at the same time that I found my birth mom. And so I got to explain to her that whole thing every week.
Yeah.
And it was like it was a new story. And then after a while, she did start to remember some bits because it seemed like it was important enough she'd remember some stuff. But
right.
When she went, my brother called me up, I think on a Monday afternoon, and said, hey, you're going to need to come to the house and hang out with Mom for a while because she's not got long. And I went over there on a... I think the Tuesday after work, and she was non-communicative, communicative. She wasn't talking or anything.
Yeah.
And I just sat there with her, and I put some classical music on the little CD player for her.
Yeah, I had some Frank Sinatra going.
Yeah, you do the things that you know that they liked. And then I turned it off, and somehow I was able to get her attention enough. I says, hey, Ma, for a while, I'm going to show you. I may lose it a little.
I hear you.
I said I'm going to show you a little bit of the kids playing the flute.
Yeah,
because she loved the flute, right? And she actually paid for my oldest private lessons for like a number of years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, my oldest graduated with a master's degree in music performance because of it.
Right.
She got to play on stage with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra because my mom supported her. When I couldn't afford it, Mom said she would. So I showed her all the different things that she was not able to see.
Yeah.
And she watched the videos and listened. And I could see her fading in and out, but there was moments when she was paying attention.
And
it's just like you need to be able to make that connection, even at the end. And you're saying you got to hold your mom's hand and talk to her.
Yeah. Well, after the guy delivered the hospital bed, I was in and out, and I could hear her breathing was like slowing down. So I just sat next to her and all that. And I left. For, you can come back every half hour or whatever. But last time I went, you know, it was around 6:30 or whatever, and. You know, I couldn't feel the pulse on the side of her neck, and her hand was getting cold. And sorry for the semi-morbid description.
Again,
but I went back out for 5 minutes and came back in, double checked before I called hospice, and yeah, she was gone. So it was Tuesday night at 8:01, and so it's funny is so a friend of mine calls me at 8:30 in the morning the next day, and she goes, oh, hey, I heard your mom fell. And I said, well, she actually passed away last night. She was my friend Laura was the first one to know. She goes, well, I know you're probably going to the funeral home by yourself. If you want, I'll go with you. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And so we go to the funeral home. We go out to lunch afterwards. It was her and her husband and another friend, Donna, that showed up. And we're over in Northville having dinner or having lunch at like just 2:30, 2:40, whatever time it was. And I get a notification on my iWatch.
Okay.
And I still had the, and I'll send it over to you, even though you probably think nothing of it. But I had this notification of a motion in her bedroom. Well, there's nobody in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I keep playing this video over and over. I saved it, and this like bright beam of light comes into the bathroom, which like backs up to her bedroom. And it was already sunny out, so I couldn't really figure out the light. But if you watch the video, it's only a 9-second video. There's a like a fuzzy gray, like opaque. It's fuzzy. But it goes from the right side of the screen, like up to the ceiling. It goes right in front of the camera. And it's so interesting because nobody was in that room. Sunlight came in and the camera went off. And then like 7 seconds after the camera went off, this gray fuzzy matter. It's faint, but you can see it once you know what you're looking for, you can definitely see it. And I was like, holy shit, what the hell is that? You know? And so, but get a little of this. So yeah. For the last like 2-3 months, I had some people in clean the house and some other stuff going on. And my mom had this ring in her hand all the time. She had her wedding ring that she always asked about. And this other ring right. had a crucifix on it. And it said faith. Okay. So I couldn't find the ring. I'm like, where the hell does this ring go? And my mom always held on to this ring. And so I'm cleaning out her closet, getting all the stuff ready for Purple Heart for the Nation.
Right.
And I had my mom's stuff separated from like casual clothes to like nice clothes. So I get all the casual clothes out into a bag, you know, 2-3-4 bags. And I go to her nice clothes, stuff that she goes to like weddings and stuff with.
Right.
And holidays. And I grab the first load of clothes and something tells me you better check the pockets. You know, maybe mom left, you know, $20 in there. Maybe something's in there.
That's how moms are. Yeah.
You know, maybe a snotty rag, whatever.
Right.
So I put my hand in the left pocket. I'm like, well, she wouldn't put it in the left pocket. She'd put it in her right pocket. Right. So I put my hand in the right pocket. And what do I find? That stupid ring that I've been looking for, the crucifix, and it says faith on it. It was so interesting. Yeah, it was so interesting. So that was a relief because I thought maybe some people stole it and I wasn't sure who. But, you know, when your mom has dementia and she only moves from the chair in the living room to the bathroom to the bedroom, you kind of narrow down where she may have dropped it or whatever. I couldn't find it anywhere. But when my cousin took her to get her hair done, she must have dropped it in her pocket in her little coat and left it there.
Oh,
and I thought that was so cool. So I'm going to a jeweler designer, which is my buddy Kenny.
Okay.
His brother out at 59 Tegradine.
Okay.
He designs jewelry. So I'm going to have everything melted down and have her diamonds and her wedding diamonds and stuff put onto a cross. Then I'm going to have that small little ring overlapped on a man's ring. I'm going to have see if he can connect it. So it'd be like just a silver ring, you know, a flat silver ring. And then put her
nice
ring right on top of it. Yeah.
That's a nice.
I'm not much of a jewelry guy, but I can at least wear it and, you know, have a good story behind it. So,
yeah.
That's
sweet.
Everybody out there, you guys better love and appreciate your parents because if it wasn't for them, you assholes wouldn't be.
Right. And, you know, and I'm lucky enough. Well, you're lucky enough too to have four sets of parents.
Yeah,
two sets of parents. Four parents.
Yeah, four parents, two sets.
And I was fortunate enough to meet my mom and dad, birth parents, and they're cool folks too. It's different because they're not the ones that raised me and did all the stuff and, you know, wiped the poopy diapers and butts and all and snotty noses and all the things. But there's something to be said for a mom that, well, I told you this story before where the nuns came to take me away from my birth mom, and she was 18 and she hadn't signed the documents yet. And she says, oh no, you're not taking this boy from me. I need to talk to him and explain to him why I can't be his mom. I'm too young.
Right, right.
I need to explain this to him. And, you know, I look at it like, well, and I explained it to her. I says, well, there's no wonder that I have a problem with authority.
Yeah.
The first 3 days I'm alive.
Yeah. You're like a bad rash sometimes.
My birth mom told the nuns to shove it. You know, I mean, how can you?
So El Carpe and I have, we both share the same stork, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We were both adopted, so. I think that that part, that story kind of is what.
Well, and there's something also to be said.
Keeps us together anyways for all this time.
Well, there's that and I love the music and the fact and
your,
that I'm,
yeah, your lousy golf game.
My lousy golf game, yeah. You love to play against me.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's bittersweet, right? After my mom fell, I'm like, there's no way I can take care of her. She's not going to be able to get out of bed. And I had to bear hug her and carry her into the bathroom. I'm like, oh. I don't know if I can do this like 3, 4, 5 times a day. Because she had incontinence. She had, you know, right. number one and number two. And you're constantly getting them back in the shower because, you know, you have no way of stopping yeah. bed sores other than if they're clean, clean. You can wipe, and wipe. But if it's diarrhea,
yeah,
you know. So everybody that's listening, take care of your parents. They're the ones that got you here. Be there for them in later life. I don't care what you are. CEO, CFO, underwriter, mortgage rep, real estate agent. Be there for your
guy
parents.
That picks up the trash. All your jobs are important.
That might be the next job for me.
Hey, they're hiring at my
happily.
Place.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk tomorrow. I meant to call you on Mother's Day, but I wasn't thinking when I told you. And I'm like, you just go. I should text you. I'm like, you just go do the Mother's Day thing.
Mother's Day thing. It was nice. We had Sue's dad came over, and Sue's brother and his girlfriend, who I play golf with every Saturday, they came over, and we just had a really nice dinner and just sat back. And Sue got some really nice stuff from her kids, and it was, you know, it was really neat. You know, it was just a nice, relaxing day. But so we're playing music tonight from women's.
Yeah.
The women's is the ones we miss, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The mommies. And I played some Texas, some Sundays. This is Crash Vegas right now. And I'll have a list of the songs as we go. But there's some other stuff. And there's some that's not women's, but it's just something that you and I were talking about earlier about a concert we're going to see.
Yeah, I told you I bought tickets to Johnny Marr and James.
Yep.
Which should be a phenomenal concert because James is so underrated.
Oh, I love and I pulled two of their songs. But so anyways, the thing that when I was texting you back today during my breaks was the fact that the company I work for has access to LCA and Pine Knob and the Detroit Lions. And so I can get sports tickets at a discount. I can get concert tickets at a discount.
Good.
For those venues. And it's just like, dude, we are going to.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying about being bittersweet. You know,
I
was sick for a year and a half. I had a summer off. I took care of my mom for the last year and a half. So really for the past 4 years or so, it's been tough. But you don't want to see them suffer. But we all have to get on with their lives. You know, we're all going to die soon. So I think they're in a great spot. And well, just for anybody listening.
Yeah, hopefully
they're like,
soon.
You know what? My parents might be dying soon, or I understand they might be dying soon, or they've already passed. There's a YouTube video, and his name is Eben Alexander, E-B-E-N Alexander, Near Death Experience. Watch it. It might change your mind on what's after death. I'm not saying anything exists,
right?
But I'm saying is that everything that I've read between hospice care and near-death experiences, there might be something after. And he's very convincing. He could be full of shit, but he's very convincing. So give him a listen. Eben, E-B-E-N, Alexander.
I may have to watch that just because.
Yeah, it's look for the one that's an hour and like 38 minutes long. He gives a speech to a group of people. I think the average age is probably close to 70 or 80, but he's a neurologist. His father was a neurologist, and he's got a really interesting story. And there's a bunch of information out there about documentaries about life after death. And I'm a guy of numbers, right?
Right.
And Bill, you know this. So I can watch 100 things, and what I do is I take what they all say, and I come up with my own opinion. I've always been that way. I'm not saying one way is
pick and choose.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
What makes the most
dirt
sense
to that, dirt for all I know. Who knows? This all could be made up.
Right.
I don't really care. But we all should have a faith in something, humanity, whatever, life after death, giving back, karma. We all got to have a faith in something. Do things for the right reason, because we only have one life.
I believe in people.
You know? Yeah.
I believe, you know, I believe in music. I believe in people. I believe in creativity.
It almost sounds like a song.
Yeah. I should write a song. Actually, I should write a book.
You should finish writing your book.
I should finish.
You should co-write with my friend Megan. She just got a deal with some big publishing company. She can help you write it.
I may have to talk to her.
She's super smart. And it's a conversation for another time, but I went over to Megan's the other day. I mean, this is like a week ago or whatever, a week and a half ago. And she's a Leo, and we're kind of similar people.
Right.
And I think we both know that, but her mom's going through tough times. She's been through some tough times, but she just got her first major publishing deal for a new novel.
Nice.
And what I'll do is I'm going to forward over her short story that NPR read on air.
Oh, yeah, you were telling us about this.
Did I send it over weeks, to you?
Months ago.
Whoever the speaker, moderator, whatever you call him, that maybe you just reads up.
The interviewer guy.
Yeah,
who read does it. Yeah.
Great job reading her story.
I touched
a story
on it.
That we can all relate to.
Yeah, I touched on it just for very briefly.
Well, then at lunch stuff, but on Monday, have it read, because I'm gonna or have it listened to, because I'm gonna listen to it again, because we sat down and talked about it. And but she's a super 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 smart talented girl, woman. So, but anyways, maybe
you and I are and to completely change the subject, but you and I have been very fortunate.
Yeah.
With what we were given.
Yeah, yeah.
Being adopted into families of parents that loved us in however the way they could and made sure that we ate food, wore clothes, and lived indoors.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to worry about that shit. Hey. You know, your dad worked his ass off.
He's the hardest working guy I ever met in my life, hands down.
You know,
I was going back to when he re-roofed the house.
Yeah.
The house that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And he was about in his early 50s. Mm-hmm. He stripped all the old shingles and put a completely new roof on himself.
And I
remember that. I remember that. He did it in sections. And he's just one of those guys that just, if he could do it on his own, he did. And if he couldn't do it on his own, he just didn't do it.
You know,
or he wouldn't have done it. He was a proud, proud guy.
Well, and that carries over to us. In my case, it carries over to my children as well, because I can see a little bit of my dad in my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can also see a lot of my birth mom in not only myself, having met her and talked with her, and we've hung out now for the last 5 years, but I can see a lot of her in my kids, and I can see a lot of her influences from her family in my kids as well. There's a certain creative, her family is a bunch of makers.
Yeah.
My Aunt Mary, who is like a couple years older than my mom, and they were like best friends growing up as kids. Aunt Mary is a painter, and she takes old chairs and refurbishes them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And there's just there's something about being a maker that, you know, Buddy is a crochet and knitter.
Yeah.
And crochet, like that kid has crocheted. I showed you the picture of the velociraptor that.
Yeah, Buddy I think made, you're right? supposed to, you were supposed to give me something. You never did.
Yeah, I'll get you some. They make strawberry earrings. Crocheted strawberries.
Yeah, yeah.
Buddy and I were actually just talking because they picked up one of those squares that you can do the debit cards with. And so Buddy and I are going to do a show, and Buddy's going to have all their crocheted stuff, and I'm going to do some woodworking things that I'm some smalls that I can sell.
Yeah.
You know, little votive type candle holders and little shit like that.
Yeah.
That I can just make. And, you know, but it's like one of those things like Ma's oldest brother, Don, who lives up north, is a gardener and a maker. He does woodworking and all this yeah. stuff. And I just started doing all that stuff shortly before and after I met Ma,
yep.
only because yep. I was ready to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it was already in me to do it. And then I meet Uncle Don and he's like, oh, yeah, I make stuff like that, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know,
that's
he's cool. in his 80s and he's yep. still making stuff.
Yeah. Like, maybe he'll will use some of the equipment.
Well, saws and you had mentioned that you had some leftover tools. I definitely want to help you.
Yeah, well, hurry up. You're going to have to get your bonsai over here. Because if not, I'm just going to sell them and buy other stuff. No, but they're just tools. They're old tools that still work that can get somebody yeah. by for maybe a year, well, two or three.
I want to learn how to use a router. And I want to learn how to use a table saw and, you know, the chop saw that I have, the, what do you call that with the angles and the, you know,
yeah.
drop it down, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Miter saw.
There's miter a radial miter saw. Sounds like what
well, the miter saw that I have and the circular saw that I have, I got from a fella back in 2001. He was getting divorced, and he's like, here, take these tools. I don't need these. And I took them. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I got a house, but I don't know.
Right.
And now I'm out there using
it. It's fun. It's fun to be creative.
Yeah, I put new blades on them, and they work great. They're Craftsman. You know, they're going to last forever.
You know what sucks?
The thing is, you know, it comes down to, I think, how you and I were both raised was you figure out a way to make things work.
Yeah, you have to. It's you know, survival, you know?
You take you care know what? Of what you can.
Beck, you know, and I'm not knocking the newer generations, but, right. you know, we weren't taught that there were any excuses. You just did what you had to do, you know? Like, I hung around a lot of people that went through private schools and went off to college.
Right.
If I hadn't done that, I would have been the outcast, you know? It was just something right. that was kind of you learn as bred into you as just having friends and stuff by... I was able to hang out with a lot of intelligent friends and that were a lot smarter than I was. But, you know, that's what gave me the drive to finish school. You know, it's like, it's tough. And everybody has the same opportunity. You know, I know people that have gone to school and worked on the summers and paid off the student loans. But I know there are other people that I dated this girl. Her actual name was Mary Ellen, the same name as my mom. So I called her Emmy because that was her nickname in high school or college. I can't remember.
The girlfriend.
Yeah, but she had a full ride to Notre Dame, didn't like it. So then her parents picked up the dime for her school, but she had to pay. No, I think she had to pay for her school and her housing. And she lived in a high-rise condo at University of Michigan.
Right.
She's like $120,000 in debt when I knew her. Back 15 years ago.
Oh, God.
You know, it's like, well, you could have worked and paid off maybe a third of that, you know? It's like life's not easy.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough that my parents paid for my college, right? I didn't.
And my dad did too, and I didn't get along with them for a minute ever.
Right, but my parents paid for my college, and I still haven't graduated.
There's still 55. Time. Hey, yeah. Snake was talking about, he was taking some classes.
Well, you know? when Sue got the job at the college, I transferred all my stuff over, and I took like five classes. Because I was only 30 credits shy of graduating, and now I'm like 18 credits shy of graduating. And
yeah.
I'm still never going to do it.
Yeah, you are.
I don't care. I don't want to. Right, I don't care. But the thing is because my parents paid for it, I was, again, very lucky. Dad was General Motors for 33 years. We never worried about eating, living indoors, paying for things. If, you know, I remember on my birthday, Mom never thought birthdays were a big thing.
Yeah.
And that has like grinded me for a long time. We've never celebrated birthdays, but my dad always would say, I'll take you. And it was me and dad would go to Toys R Us on my birthday. And he'd say, you pick out what you want and I'll take care of it.
Right, right.
And, you know, back in, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, my dad pulling $200 out of his wallet to pay for toys.
Right.
Was not a, he didn't even flinch.
Right, right.
And, you know, and again, you and I were both lucky that we had dads that worked hard. My mom also worked, you know, she worked out of the house doing other people's taxes and things. So, you know, every April 15th from like, what was it? February through almost August, you couldn't talk to my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
'Cause she was busy knee deep in someone else's taxes, extensions, all this stuff. But, you know, these are the things that you and I were both very fortunate in how we grew up.
And yeah. You're not kidding.
I can't say that enough. And what I'm, when I say this, I'm saying this to other people who are doubting, you know, the fact that they get to live indoors, wear clothes, and eat food. Understand that your parents are trying. You know, they're going to do whatever they can to help you.
Right, right.
You know, in most cases,
same benefits.
There's always that asshole that's out there who's going to, you know, be a douchebag. And
you know, it's funny as I know some people. I can't mention any names. And it has nothing to do with Snake, but I knew this person, and I'm like, he's like, you know, it's supposed to rain later on. I'm like, yeah, that's what I heard. We're supposed to get some bad weather.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I got to hurry up and get home and cut the lawn. I'm like, cut the lawn.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, hold on. So I'm like, cut the lawn. He's like, yeah, I got to cut the lawn before it rains because it's supposed to rain for the next couple of days where my yards, my grass is lawn. I said, you have two kids there. Not one's not working. One's working as a waiter, and they're in their 30s and early 40s.
Oh, geez. You know,
I'm like, how about since they probably live for free, tell them to cut the lawn. You know, oh no, I couldn't do that. No, I couldn't do that. I cut the lawn a lot better than they do. But when I was growing up, I'm 53.
Yeah.
So in the 70s and 80s, it didn't have to be told. If the grass was just long, you cut it. That was it. So I think I paid my dues for my dad to pay for college. I think he scratched his head once or twice about, are you taking this class again? I'm like, wow. First one didn't go so hot, Dad. Calculus wasn't my cup of tea.
Dad, I'm sorry I'm taking basic comp for the third time.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like the rules. Which is hilarious because I did take basic composition three times. I failed it every time.
Yeah.
And the third time I took it as a senior, I was teaching the other kids how to do it, but I was too much of an asshole.
So is your mom stubborn? Your dad stubborn? Who's the stubborn one in the family? Jeez, Pete.
Birth mom is the stubborn one.
Oh.
She's a chatty Cathy. And just a very open, talkative person.
Yeah, but hopefully I get the opportunity to meet her one day.
She can be so stuck in her ways kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it might run the family.
And it might be something that I inherited from a grandparent.
Yeah, you're a bear to hang out with sometimes.
Oh, I know.
Did you hear that, everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, Carpe can be a bear.
A bear. I'm a douche.
I got to talk to your wife. If you need to call me,
she'll tell you the same thing. Yeah, that guy's an asshole. I can't.
You know, it's funny. When I first met you, we were talking about your CDs you had in the corner of your desk.
Right.
You're like, all right, get out of here. I got to go. I got to finish stuff up. I'm like, what a dick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I got to get this shit done.
Yeah.
Get out of my face. Go find me some more Lone Sounder, right, you dick.
Right.
Do
right.
something. Jackass.
Of course.
Get out of my face. This is James. This is the acoustic version of Laid. I found this and I thought, oh, this might be fun.
Yeah, turn it up a little bit.
You know what? I'm going to play it again because it's that good. But no, it is funny because Birth Mom Jane was telling me that my grandmother, her mom,
yeah,
was in the same insane asylum for 15 years for like some kind of bipolar type thing.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, that explains a lot of my nuts.
Yeah. Did you say birth? You see your grandmother on your mom, your birth mom's side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So genetically, I'm insane.
Yeah, I mean, you might cut a gene or two.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my middle child came home today with 3 new tattoos.
Oh, hey, I know I've got one that I want to get done. I've got a few that I want to get done, but I fear maybe I can get my buddy Bill to go with me. Maybe he'll get a small one.
There's nothing I like that much that I want to get a tattoo of.
Well, you know, I don't know. Be creative.
Well, and I just don't give it any thought because it's just not my thing.
Oh, you know what? I kind of know you. I don't know you that well.
Yeah.
Maybe I can come up with, I'll kind of scratch something down on paper.
It would be a band of some kind.
Nah, well, you're kind of, I might be, you know, like the in the a little bit symbolic, a little bit about Bill, a little bit more about Bill. And then maybe a little touch of mother on there somewhere.
Well, the one thing
you should see what I'm giving Snake tomorrow.
Oh, so man. So you're going to go hang out with the family tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to go to West Bloomfield tomorrow for Snake's
55. What's that all about? What's going on with that?
So Snake's turned 55 and his wife put us together. We're going to play some board game or whatever. But right. So when I was getting ready to move into my mom's house, I had to demo the, I didn't have to, but I demoed the basement and had to get a bunch of crap out of here or whatever. And I was pulling down the area above the bar. It was like a built-in overhang that one of his buddies was just a master carpenter. He just had a ton of talent, but okay. I could tell he built this thing because it certainly wasn't my dad. But I was banging on this thing, breaking all the wood down, right, to take this like overhang down, like a tiki hut overhang kind of thing.
Okay.
And this packet of Apple Jack chewing tobacco fell out.
No shit.
And I was like, holy shit, this was me and Patrick, like back when we were like 10 years old. He brought it over. Mm-hmm. We must have threw it up there because we couldn't bring it back upstairs. Well, this thing falls on my feet, right? And I pick it up. And this is as I'm getting all the crap out of here.
Right.
And I look at it. It says Jackson's Apple Jack chewing tobacco. So I took a picture of it on top of my grandma and grandpa's drawer front, so it has this like decorative background, like wood carved background,
right?
And it has the pouch right in the center. Well, his son's name is Jackson, his
right.
father's name is Jack, what? And then I tied in Apple with his wife Maureen, she's from Brooklyn, and I put a 50-cent piece and a 5-cent piece, and then the 50-cent piece is the Liberty. You know, version of, you know, it says Liberty on the top of the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
So, when, and then I put at the bottom, 4 generations to Luna. And Luna is the dog's name. It's also their camp name. Snake is getting ready to build a new cottage. So this is a picture with all, and I'll send it over to you in a minute or after we get off the phone. But so I'm going to his birthday party tomorrow. I'm giving this picture to him and the family.
That's hilarious.
And saying, you know, at 10 years old, Patrick buys this thing, falls on my feet when I'm demoing it. And since they're building the house, it's a good housewarming present. It's really cool, though. It came out really nice.
Oh, that's fun. You know, you're a good cousin.
Yeah,
and
I try.
Give Snake a big handshake from me and grab his ass for me.
I will. Well, I don't. Right. I probably can't get away with that, but I'll give him a big hug for you.
No, this is not the song I want.
Well, hold on. You know what? I got one. Hold on.
You do?
Yeah, hold on.
All right. Oh, this might be good too. I don't hear anything yet.
Oh, hold on.
I'm going to play this until you.
Yeah, I was trying to play it on something else. And I can't play.
What I want is the flute version, but this is the video. It doesn't matter. This is the.
Okay, so I'll just read a little tidbit. Hold on. All right, turn that thing down for a second.
All right, fade that out the way you talk. Hey,
hold on.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a good tune.
One of my favorite songs, one of my favorite albums.
Absolutely.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom.
Isn't that a great song?
It is.
It's like you just can't duplicate stuff like
that. The whole album. Is this the one that they played on the rooftop?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it says, Paul McCartney sends out a prayer to his real-life mother, Mary.
Yep.
A Liverpool nurse who passed away when he was just 14. But in times of trouble, he hears Mary McCartney's voice speaking the words, let it be. Pretty good stuff, eh?
You know, and there's so much, you know, Paul McCartney,
this
John
is,
Lennon.
Oh, hold on a second. Okay. I'm pressing it the wrong way.
No, go ahead.
That's why I brought up the whole Taylor Swift thing. And if I hear popular music these days, which I don't really listen to too much, it just seems like we're losing the ability to songwrite. It's just all mass-produced marketing, you know? That's why I'm so mad. You know, you'll never see the Beatles again. You know what I'm saying? You'll never see a Tom Waits. You'll never see another Nirvana. It's all just marketing. You know, I hate to say it. Maybe I hope I am wrong, but, you know, like The Cure and R.E.M., and those are songwriting bands.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't hear it these days. I'm not out listening for it, but
even
I certainly don't hear it.
Songwriting band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're right. You know, I got to find the right one.
Hey, it's me.
Hold on. This is a Top of the Pops I got to find. That Let It Be is phenomenal. And if you haven't watched is it Netflix?
Yeah, I've got to go back and watch it. I'm not sure it's up there. If you want to listen to a great album, which is, I forgot the terminology that he used, but it was kind of when Paul Westerberger was writing with The Replacements.
Right.
One of their albums is called Let It Be. Yeah. And it was kind of a poke to the Beatles, like, we know that we have no such talent like you, but we want to name our album the same, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Whatever. So, one of my favorite albums is Let It Be by The Replacements. By far my favorite
album. You've made that known to us many a time.
Yeah, and I'm going to remind
you. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Don't ever stop. And, you know, that's the thing is I was in a Facebook argument with a guy about stupid shit. And it was like, you know, here I'm poking the bear because I'm like, oh, you know, what about this? What about that? What about this? You know, and I'm just being an asshole because that's how I am. But the bottom line is when he did reply back to me, he's like, you know, I see things this way and I see things that way. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of how I see things too. We're both looking in the same direction. We just kind of see it a little different colors.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
all perception,
that's
right?
That's just how people are.
We're
all weird and goofy.
Someone
and we all
knows.
Have our own thing, but we're really just the same.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just
it's too bad that we all can't get on the same page.
Yeah,
it'll never happen. But
wear clothes, eat food, live indoors.
So who are you voting for?
Not that asshole again. My.
There's no way you can vote for Biden. There's no way. No way.
Well, no, I'm going to put a sign on my lawn that says not that asshole again. and then everybody can guess. That's, yeah, everybody else can guess which asshole I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care which one you think it is. I just don't want a lying jackass who won't even pay his lawyers, let alone anyone else.
Come on.
Fuck that guy.
Come on. You know the charges on Trump are all a bunch of baloney.
He's a child.
No, he's not.
It's the only look. I'm not.
All right, anyways, what do you got? You got in the back.
This is the cult. She sells sanctuary. I was going to say this, and I'm only going to say this once.
No! Don't be getting the last word in because we. Listen.
Okay. Well, you
this
can.
This is the way I look at it.
You can follow up.
Is none of us are in the business,
right?
None of us are experts. Right. Most of us are armchair quarterbacks. You see it on TV, however you want to say it. So, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, it doesn't really matter. What's going on today is really fucked up. And whether it's the Democrats, Republicans, or whatever, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't mater. But we need to change. The only way we can change that is by getting out of the Republican and Democratic Party. And I think Trump's the closest one to it. I'm certainly not voting for Biden because I don't want Kamala Harris in there either. She's a dingbat.
Well, here's my thing.
I don't care what her background is.
I'd like a person who's actually doing the job, not someone who's out golfing.
Oh,
not someone who's trying to cheat everything.
Really?
Yes, really.
They all golf. They all do their thing.
Right.
All right. Anyways, all right.
Blah, blah, blah. Biden actually is doing the job, and whether he's doing it right or not,
dementia.
I don't care.
Oh, that's well.
Fucking,
see,
I don't care.
See.
At this point, I don't care.
Anyways,
I just don't want a child running things.
So James.
So tell me more about this concert we're going to go see. How much do I got to come up with? I got to start saving my money.
Well, yeah.
It's Johnny Marr and James.
Yeah,
and Masada.
It's like 90 bucks. Yeah, we're like.
Oh, this is perfect.
We're halfway down Mean Floor on
that. I have that money already set aside.
Yeah, well.
And plus beer money for you.
For the next like 5 concerts. Or 10.
Well, I owe you like 14,000 concerts. But
would you turn your damn stereo down?
It's
my mom that's died. So turn that damn thing, noisemaker down.
You play your music.
Get in line.
I can barely hear it.
You know what?
There you go. That's Eric. There it is.
So Danzig was, I think, the lead singer to, God, was he the Meat,
Meat Puppets?
No, the Meat Puppets. Wait, Danzig. All right, Wikipedia.
Look that up.
He had a
We had somebody here for quite a long time.
Hold on.
Wurgermack joined the room and then joined the room and then joined the room and then left the room and then. But he was hanging out for quite a while. There were some other folks that were hanging out for quite a while, and you know we really do appreciate both of you who stick around for more than 20 minutes.
Appreciate
Eric.
It.
Since you're doing your thing, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the losses of Jameson Walker Stout.
That's probably good.
Yeah, because we've already been doing this for like 20 minutes. And it's time to get into the disclaimer, which basically is we spend $14,000 a month for the retainer fees in order to keep both Eric and I out of jail.
You bailed out twice.
Yeah, well... twice last month.
Yeah.
We are unrehearsed, unprepared, unprofessional, inept, ill-prepared and illiterate, flagrantly flamboyant, moderately mediocre, and mostly malignant. Welcome to the show. Yeah, you've been here for a while. We love you. Thanks for sticking around. We're going to do some more injustice to another great band, other songs, all sorts of stuff. When we play the music, we want you to, oh yeah, I like that song. And then you go buy the song from the band. We're not doing this for money because we are already in the hole, $14,000 a month for the retainer fee. And basically the loss is Jameson Walker, Statler, and Waldorf have told us that we're doing the fair use thing. We're playing the music, talking about the music. Hopefully the three people who aren't related to us who will ever listen might actually exchange real money for the same music that we talk about. It essentially, Lofts is James Walker, Statler, and Waldorf has said this. Please listen at your own risk. These guys are mildly insane. The views expressed by the hosts are not necessarily those of rational human beings. All shows are poorly researched and presented by idiots. That's you and me. Any semblance of intelligent thoughts are purely coincidental, should not be considered factual. This program is not endorsed by any committee, team, group, organization, band, or tribe. Excuse me. No animals were harmed in the production of the show except for two rats and an oversized mongoose. He was asking for it. Please check with your doctor prior to listening to the show. Not available in Colorado or Delaware. Unless, of course, it's available in Colorado or Delaware. Go ahead and listen there.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing is, we want you to hear the music that we talk about and go buy it from the artists. Support them.
Amen, my brother.
That's the whole thing. We're not in this for the money. This is me and Eric talking and having a good time because we're buddies and we like doing it. What are you playing there, sister?
So this is Queen.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how this ties into my mother, but the song is Tie Your Mother Down.
It does not tie
with
any of that at all. And it's a great song, by the way. There is not a bad Queen song.
No, they are one talented band.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit loud.
What's the album with the bicycles?
This is the Day at the Races. It just looks like Bohemian Rhapsody, but it's a black album.
But there's one, the one with Bicycle Race on it.
Yeah, there's Queen, is it self-titled? There's Queen Jazz, Queen Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen Day at the Races. I'm drawing a blank. Anyways,
the Queen
Game,
album.
The Game, which was We Will Rock You.
Yeah, that's a good one. The Queen album with Ride My Bicycle. And that's the one with the nude gals riding bicycles on the cover.
Yeah, I used to have that.
That was the quintessential Queen album for me.
Yeah, I think that's on Day at the Races.
That sounds about right, Day at the Races.
Yeah, hold on.
That was just a phenomenal one. Hey, can I play something? Are you still playing something? Tie Your Mother Down is a great tune. Yeah. And if you have not seen the Queen movie that came out a couple years ago, you need to watch
watch Live Aid Wembley. Oh,
Queen. Yeah, the Live Aid is phenomenal.
I keep my co-host informed, let them know things to listen for, video to watch. Hopefully he watched it because...
I did. I've watched that Rolling Live Aid a number of times, but here's the thing. The movie with all those guys doing the Queen thing.
Yeah,
a couple years.
The guy that did Freddie Mercury was
a great
time actor. Yeah,
he was great. He really tied in.
You know what happens though is when you're used to seeing somebody that's so flamboyant and so confident and such a performer, it's so hard to touch it. It's so, it's like when I ask you to go to the show, The.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm having cake and ice cream with my family. You know?
All right. You have to stop bringing that up. I've lived that 1,000 times, and I'm done with it.
All right.
Give me a little respect. Just a little bit.
It only took you 15 minutes to get there.
When you come home, just a little bit. I'm not going to do you no wrong.
And what famous movie was this from?
I don't know.
What? Aretha.
Ah,
it's in a
sometimes I wonder.
Movie.
I think you got locked into the 80s.
Yeah,
but
I did.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
This is the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because Aretha was in the Blues Brothers. Yeah, she was amazing.
Yes.
I forgot all about that. So anyways, what I was going to say about something else that I can't remember at this moment.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought. Oh, the Queen thing.
Yeah.
The movie did great respect to the Live Aid show.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't, the movie wasn't
Did you
bad.
See the movie?
Yeah, I watched the movie. It wasn't okay. bad, but the problem is it's like, when you know a band like The Cure, and you know Robert Smith, you know who he is, and what he does, and what he looks like, it's hard to deviate from that. I grew up with Queen forever. Queen News of the World and Queen Bohemian Rhapsody, my two first like favorite albums. But when I go back and compare anything against the real Freddie Mercury or Brian May or John Deacon or whatever, you just can't. It's light years away. You know, people that don't know Freddie Mercury might be different. But I grew up with Queen. I was like, they're freaking awesome.
It was very respectful.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
if you never saw Freddie Mercury live and didn't know anything about Queen,
it's not going to be perfect.
It was okay. It was good.
But it's going to be something that gives homage to.
You know, who was the guy that was married to Angelina Jolie? Billy Bob Thornton?
Billy Bob Thornton, yeah.
He had kind of an overbite. If you were slick back his hair and youngered him up a little bit, he would have been a good Freddie Mercury too. The guy that did it did a pretty good job. But like I said, when you know Freddie Mercury, he was very hyper. He was very like, you know, I watched all the other documentaries on him, and you know, he was kind of a high-strung individual. You know, I don't remember the actor's name, but he did a pretty good job in the movie. So whatever.
Yeah.
What's up, J-Lo?
J-Lo's here.
We're talking about Queen.
Katie James.
The documentary movie Queen.
Katie James. Katie X James. I'm
J-Lo
totally
from Texas.
But
Vermont.
Yeah, people actually showed up.
Maine. Yeah.
Yeah. J-Lo's here. It's Friday night. Thanks for stopping by.
No, that was Doss. Doss is from Vermont.
Doss?
Yeah, Doss is from Vermont.
All right.
Where are you from, J-Lo? Are you from Texas? You're from Texas, aren't you? Yeah, I can see the hat.
J-Lo's from somewhere else.
That's who I was getting confused with, J-Lo and Doss. Anyways, but so this summer, more golf. Yeah.
Well, and
my house is open.
Now that you're, and I don't want to sound this.
There's no way around it.
Now that you're available, we're going to be doing stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I are going to be golfing.
Yeah.
I golf every Saturday with my brother-in-law and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
In my
side. Maybe I can ride with her.
We can do something on your side of town.
Yeah.
You know, and we can do a show at your place. We can do downstairs at Eric's.
Yeah, or in the garage there.
Yeah, we can do all sorts of stuff. It'll be great.
It'll be lovely. You know,
we can do all sorts of fun stuff. But, you know, again, the whole point of this was to pay homage to our moms.
Amen. Right?
Oh, San Antonio. That is Texas. Thanks, J-Lo.
Yeah, see, I was confusing J-Lo with Doss.
So we're throwing out some Motown just for the fact that it's Motown time.
Let me see.
So, Eric, what else you got for me tonight?
That's about it.
J-Lo, what do you got? You want to talk to us?
I need to go shake the dew off the lily.
Yeah, so, J-Lo, Eric, did you want to let J-Lo in? Can we unmute you somehow, J-Lo?
I don't know how that's going to work. Eric's in charge. I have nothing to do with anything. No, J-Lo, we appreciate it that you enjoy the fact that this is the best music ever. And, you know, tonight we were talking about parents and losing folks and the sense of loss and all that stuff. And we pulled up all sorts of crazy girl tunes. Oh, wait, Eric, I didn't play this one yet. So this is Martha and the Vandellas dancing in the street. I'm going to fade that out the way Eric taught me. But this is one, you know, Eric's always telling me that I'm stuck in the 60s or the 80s or whatever. But here's something from the 90s. And honestly, I love Pink. Pink is so much fun. We got the, yeah, exactly, J-Lo. Pink is cool. And, you know, you don't have to love every song from every artist. You pick and choose and you go, oh, I like that one. I like that one. Eric will be back in a second and then I can bounce off of him. You know, what's funny about the show is I could never do this on my own. Because I'm just not capable of doing this. I need Eric to bounce what? Off of me. Yeah, that's right, Eric. What? Yeah, I need you.
I'm back.
It was dull without you.
You talking to yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Well, No, me and J-Lo were kind of chatting back and forth. J-Lo's typing stuff in. Will you let J-Lo talk?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, let's get this.
What's up, J-Lo?
Let's have a real show.
Can you hear us?
Might as well. No, hit the button that says let J-Lo talk. Down.
What the hell are you listening to?
J-Lo, you got to do the request thing, probably.
Nah, you should be all dialed in.
All right.
Turn that noisemaker down over there, Bill.
Oh, Jesus. You want me to figure that out the way you taught me?
Yeah, J-Lo, you should be there.
Yeah,
I can see you're connected, but I can't hear you.
J-Lo's taking a leak.
He might be taking a squirt.
Okay.
I don't know. Oh, is that him?
J-Lo.
Hold on. Wait.
So, Living Tree of Life. Living Tree of Life joined the room. All what's right. up, baby doll?
Can you hear me? Test 1, 2, 3, yeah. Test.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
Bill, J-Lo, you rock Bill's, the fucking house.
Bill was a monkey.
Hey, man, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been.
Brother?
I kept getting you confused with Doss. Where I swore one of you guys is from Texas, and I was like, I thought it was Doss, but it was you.
That's anyways, okay. We're all good from matter. Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
Now, I was listening to that Motown thing you had going on there, and I was thinking the I heard a song that just stuck in my head was that Smokey Robinson with back in the day with the old remake with the what was the one he did that Huey Lewis did with Smokey. Gwyneth Paltrow?
Tears of a Clown? No, you
got no. The Gwyneth Paltrow.
Huey Lewis and who?
It was back in the day. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow and Huey Lewis did the song, and they did the duet.
Cruisin'?
But I think it was
Cruisin'.
Cruisin'. Yeah. Wasn't that Smokey? Didn't Smokey sing that?
I'm just Wikipedia right now.
Yeah, I found it.
Because I thought,
you know, you got it. Yeah, Smokey Robinson. Cruisin'. Smokey Robinson song.
God, that was just such a beautiful song, man.
You know, crazy. It's the only way these people make money these days is by copying other people's music. I'm kidding, but there's a lot to it, though.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when I... Yeah.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing. Huey Lewis is remarkable.
Yep.
He is a... amazing talent is just worked his ass off for 20 years and then got his break with the Back to the Future shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was, and it goes back to, again, Eric, I know you know that I love the 80s.
Well, you but tend to focus on that, the 80s.
The director of Back to the Future, all of those, I can't think of his name. What's the director's name? He did 16 Candles and
Howard, or
yeah, that guy.
Howard.
No, not Howard, but the guy.
Yeah.
The director, Zemeckis guy?
No, no, director. Well, Robert Zemeckis is amazing. Was amazing also.
No, it was the guy that did all those.
No problem. I won't.
The guy that did all those. I keep wanting to say Howard Hughes.
No. But Hughes.
I thought Zemeckis directed Back to the Future. No.
Well,
okay, maybe somebody else. Anyway,
Zemeckis, I think, was involved in it, but it was.
Zemeckis.
The guy who did all 16 Candles. Who pulled all that great 80s music.
John Hughes.
John Hughes.
Yeah, I said Howard Hughes. I was close.
Yeah, you were close.
They were both probably billionaires by the time they passed.
Right, right, no, right. Exactly.
Here we go. Let's try this. Hughes. No, let's see. Give me any song from any of those
Pretty,
John Hughes.
Pretty in Pink.
Oh, Pretty in Pink. Good God, that's the first thing that comes to mind. That and The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Oh my God, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Minds?
Of course.
That's Simple Minds.
So,
Simple Minds.
Yep, Simple Minds.
Our podcast always leads this direction. Either Bill's films or Bill's music.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, you know, if you leave.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. It's just one of those things.
Hey, man, I'd rather get on a podcast that wasn't scripted, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no,
that's just me.
That's what Bill and I talked about. If we're going to do this, it's unedited on everything. We're just going to talk. And if people want to listen, fine. If not, we don't really care. We've been doing this for how long, Bill? Almost 3 years?
Like 5 years.
Three.
Wow.
But it's just, let's just have fun.
We've been doing this forever.
I can only avoid Bill for so long.
J-Lo, our thing is we are unrehearsed, unprepared, unprofessional, inept, ill-tempered, illiterate, flagrantly flamboyant, mildly mediocre, and mostly malignant.
And we stink.
Hey, so it's like my lifestyle. I love it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not all perfect, right? We didn't want to be some polished thing where we got to rehearse scripts and all that. We're just like, just shoot the shit and have fun with it. And
right.
If we get one listener a month, we're happy, or a week.
Yeah, remember, folks, you haven't paid for this. So when you're disappointed, you got nothing to complain about.
Just turn us off, you know?
I just hope nobody out there is a New York Knicks fan.
You never know. We get a lot of people from the East Coast and a handful of people from the West Coast.
Yeah, because New York Knicks are getting ready to lose, and it's going to go back to their series is going to go to Game 7 instead of 6, like they thought they would.
So wait, are you talking about football or baseball or what?
No, basketball.
Oh, right. Knicks, right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I can care less.
No, it's all good. I just throw it out there, and anybody listening is like, oh, my gosh.
So here's something fun for you, J-Lo. And, Eric, I said I wasn't going to talk about it. But
I know. It's inevitable.
The company I work for.
Yeah.
The law firm?
Sure. They happen to own a local baseball club that only has 4 teams.
Yes.
But they have a field where they put on this show 4 nights a week with these baseball teams. It's like a below sub-A level teams. It's just like, you know, these guys are, you know, they have jobs. and they also play baseball.
Are you trying to recruit me?
No, no, not at all. But there's this big field in the neighborhood I live in, and they have these things like four nights a week where they have these baseball games, and it's like the biggest thing in the neighborhood. Like, wow. Everyone is excited about it. It's just the weirdest thing ever. I don't know what I was trying to say. I started saying something.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I kind of lost you too. I'm still so surprised.
You were talking about
Scotty Scheffler got a
no. You were talking about basketball, and I like the only sport I can ever get into is like none of them. But occasionally, I'll take my father-in-law to see this local baseball thing because my father-in-law loves baseball.
Oh,
and
do you like baseball?
I don't. Not at all. It's the boring.
I like. Thing I ever. Like. I like going to the game and watching it, but I don't really care about watching the TV anymore.
It's fun because when I pay extra and I get the like box seats or whatever because I know somebody who knows somebody and can get me good seats, and then I get to let my father-in-law enjoy like this special occasion where he gets treated like a king.
Makes sense.
You know, and whatever. And I honestly don't care about what happens on the field because I don't know any of these assholes. It doesn't matter to me. But it's an event and it's fun.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
You know, hey, you guys, bear with me. I'm going to step away for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think we're getting ready to wrap it up here.
Okay. Enjoyed it. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah. All right, you too.
We're so happy you joined us. You know, you're one of
I always I'll come back. You guys are like the best, always.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
it. And you're always you're always hospitable and everything. It's always fun.
Much appreciated. We'll talk to you here very soon. Look for us. We'll look out for you.
All right, we'll do.
All right. Bye.
You're the best. You're the bomb.
All right. 17 minutes after our witch hour.
It's always 17 minutes, too. So, there's some more Motown.
Yeah, I remember this. Oh, this is so good.
You know, and it just is what it is, man.
No, it is. It's life, right? We all got to go through it.
You got to just reach out, baby. We'll be there.
Reach out.
Your low standards and pores will be there for you.
Just reach.
Eric, I'm going to send you some words here shortly.
Yeah.
And we'll figure all this out. But do you have any particular song you want to close to?
No, this is good. Reminds me of my mom. All right.
You know, and that's the thing is what did we start with? Take care of your parents, right?
Yeah, for sure. Simple man, Larry Skinner.
Take care of him.
Yep. Karma will get us through life. The more better you do, the more it comes back.
Right. Be somebody to someone.
Yes. Because the world, we're all energy, right? It all gets better.
Right.
The better we all feel, the better it is overall.
And by the way, pull my finger.
Yeah, and we're going to see Johnny Marr in October and James.
Yeah, and speaking of Smith, Johnny Marr.
So our next podcast, Bill will be spinning James and Johnny Marr.
Will I? All right. Excellent.